Thank you for standing by. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. All participants are in a listen-only mode until the question and answer session at the end of today's agenda. To ask a question at that time, you may press star one and record your name clearly for question introduction. I would now like to turn the call over to your host, Erin Beard. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining our call today. My name is Erin Beard, and I'm a Public Information Officer for the Virginia Department of Health Office of Communications. Today, we are joined by VDH's Director of the Division of Immunization, Christy Gray. She'll give an update on Virginia's COVID-19 vaccine rollout and response efforts. Today's call is being moderated by an operator, so when we get to the Q&A portion of the call, please follow their instructions to ask a question. Now I'd like to welcome Christy to share an update. Christy?
Thank you, Erin. Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us and letting us provide this update. Virginia has been working to implement a successful vaccination program across the Commonwealth, which is critical to flattening the curve and stopping the spread of COVID-19. As of this morning, December 30th, Virginia has received approximately 285,000 vaccine doses from two manufacturers and has administered 54,295 doses to people in the Commonwealth. We are still getting data and will provide more detail as it becomes available. As of December 18th, Virginia is planning to receive 370,000 doses of vaccine in all of December 2020 from these two manufacturers. 18 Virginia hospitals received the initial shipments of the Pfizer vaccine the week of December 18th and began dispersing those shipments of 72,125 doses to our frontline healthcare workers. Virginia also received approximately 140,000 doses of Moderna vaccine the week of December 23rd, and both the previously approved Pfizer vaccine and Moderna vaccines are being distributed to a total of 96 sites geographically dispersed throughout the Commonwealth. Based on planning estimates provided by Operation Warp Speed, Virginia is planning for weekly allocation of a total of 100,000 doses of vaccine, which is about 50,000 for each type, for the next few weeks. The actual amount of the vaccine received in Virginia is a moving target and is dependent on when and how quickly vaccination doses are manufactured. Health districts have been working with healthcare systems to plan for how to provide the vaccine to those allocated in Group 1A, which are healthcare personnel in our long-term care facilities, as recommended by the CDC Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices and the Virginia Department of Health. In addition to our healthcare personnel, our long-term care facilities residents and staff are starting to receive that vaccine this week. Most have signed up for the Federal Long-Term Care Facility Pharmacy Partnership Program, which are receiving vaccinations on-site at the facility location through a partnership with CVS and Walgreens vaccination teams. I also wanted to update you on our vaccine dashboard that went live last week. There are two tabs. One is the vaccine summary and one is the vaccine demographics. This new information will keep the public informed about the number of COVID-19 vaccines distributed and administered in Virginia. It will be updated daily. The number of doses of COVID-19 vaccine administered that is displayed on the dashboard will always lag behind the actual number of doses administered. The data on the administered vaccine tab is coming from the Virginia Immunization Information System. Providers across the Commonwealth who administer the vaccines to individuals enter that information into VIS, V-I-I-S. Information entered into VIS will allow providers to know when to give the second dose to an individual and which type of vaccine to give. Providers can use information in VIS to give individuals proof of their COVID-19 vaccination as well. The goal of this is to support patients and their healthcare providers in making health decisions by providing reliable, easy-to-access information about a patient's immunization history. It only contains information about immunizations and does not contain other medical history for individuals. Virginia is awaiting recommendations from the Virginia Unified Command and the Virginia Disaster Medical Advisory Committee to make final recommendations on priority groups 1B and 1C. The CDC Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices provided their recommendations last week on who should be in those priority groups. We are finalizing our recommendations here in Virginia. We have requested feedback from the Virginia Vaccine Advisory Workgroup, and those comments were relayed to the Virginia Disaster Medical Advisory Committee for their review. And all this, the committee's recommendations and the comments will be provided to Virginia's Unified Command for final approval later this week. Erin, I'll go ahead and turn it back to you.
All right, thanks so much for that update, Chrissy. Before we begin the question and answer portion of today's call, I'd like to remind everyone that our call is focused on the vaccine rollout and response efforts. So if you have questions about other topics, or if Chrissy is unable to answer your question today, you can email them to the VDH Communications Office. Contact information is available at vdh.virginia.gov/news, N-E-W-S. Please remember to limit your inquiries to one question and one follow-up per person so that we can allow time for everyone. Now we'll begin the question and answer portion of today's call, so I will turn it over to our operator.
Thank you, and if you'd like to ask a question at this time, you may press star 1 and record your name clearly for question introduction. One moment, please, to see if we gather questions. Our first question will come from Darren Stacy. Your line is now open.
It's Kieran Stacy from the Financial Times. I noticed on your, the statistics on your dashboard suggest that around 20% of the vaccines that have been distributed have actually been administered. And from what we can tell, it's similar figures in other parts of the country. Why is it taking so long to get the vaccines from distribution to actually being administered?
Thank you so much for the question. Yes, there is a lag of reporting for a number of different reasons. We do expect that the number of doses administered is actually higher, but we do have to wait for that information to come in. We're working with our providers if they're having any issues in entering this information into our registry and troubleshooting those issues as they come up. Dealing with new systems and operations at this scale, it is expected to be slower, but we are expecting to increase our efficiency over time. And I would like to state that 47,000 doses in 2 weeks is not a small number, and we are proud of our Virginia providers for accomplishing that. 140,000 of those doses just arrived Wednesday of last week. So although there is a large number that have been distributed, not all of them were distributed 2 weeks ago. They have been distributed over the course of the past 2 weeks.
Just judging from your answer, it seems like the main answer to that question is that you think that actually a much larger number of doses have been administered, but are just not being reported at the moment. Do you have any sense of how many, just even vague ballpark, might have actually been administered, and what proportion we would really be looking at of the 285,000 doses that have been distributed?
I can't speculate on what that number actually is.
Our next question will come from Jeff Keelan, your line is now open.
Yes, thank you. I was looking at the December 4th release that had Virginia preparing to receive an estimated 480,000 doses by the end of the year, and I believe you just said that now you're expecting 320,000 for the end of the year. If that's the case, first, do you know why those numbers have been lower than what you initially were expecting? And second, what is the hoped-for timeline to have vaccines available and administered to all of these 1A1 folks that are listed as an estimate of about 500,000 people?
Yes, thank you for that question. There was a press release that was published. I'm blanking on the date, but Aaron can help you on that and can guide you to where it is on our website, that all states did receive the notification the week of December 18th that the number of expected doses had decreased. And so it is actually 370,000. I think I heard you say 320,000, so I just want to clarify. So the number did decrease approximately 100,000 doses. And so we have had to to update our strategy in getting these vaccines out to the providers that through the long-term care facilities as well as our hospitals, health systems, and local health departments to most efficiently distribute the vaccine out to our healthcare personnel and residents and staff of our long-term care facilities. So, Aaron, if you could follow up and provide that press release that has that information. I think the second part of your question was related to expected timeline of completing phase 1A.
Yes, ma'am.
So we're looking at it is difficult to put down a specific timeline. Our health departments are working and coordinating with the providers, including the health systems in their districts, to identify and vaccinate these healthcare personnel as quickly as possible. Additionally, our long-term care facilities, which include both our skilled nursing facilities and our assisted living facilities, are already underway, and we would expect the skilled nursing facilities are already scheduled. They started this week, and we are expecting our assisted living facilities to be able to start being scheduled in the coming weeks as well.
Okay, so, and do you know whether there's been any particular issues in rural areas, which, you know, the area that we cover in on our station is highly rural, far southwest Virginia, whether there have been any particular hiccups in terms of getting distributions to those areas?
I'm not aware of any specific hiccups that are related to the rural areas. We've been able to coordinate with our partners in the health systems as well as our local health departments to get vaccine out to all regions of the state to ensure that access is equitably distributed. And I've not heard of any issues or hiccups related to the rural areas.
Thank you.
Yes, I will say that the press release is available online about the reduction in the number of doses. It's in the newsroom from December 18th, 2020. So you should be able to find that information there.
Yeah, I see it here, 370,650. My apologies for not having seen that earlier.
It's no problem. I just thought it would be more efficient for you to read it than to me to try to. I don't have it in front of me right now.
Our next question will come from Victoria Sanchez. Your line is now open.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Two quick questions. I'm looking at the data online when it comes to administered vaccines, and on December 25th, it says a little more than 43,000, and then 2 days later, it dropped to 38,000 administered. I'm not sure if there was a discrepancy there that needs to be fixed or the reason for that. That's my first question.
Sure. When we are releasing the dashboard last week, we also were working through the files that were coming through and reviewing the data, and there was a need to do some data quality on some of the messages, and we have put that now into place. And the number that is reflecting is what we have on record for those that are currently mastered.
Our next question will come from, one moment, and apologies, the queue has just disappeared. If you have pressed star 1 to ask a question, may I please have you press star 1 once again. Again, to ask a question, you may press star 1, and our next question will come from Jeff Peterlin. Your line is now open.
Yes, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. I just wanted to ask, and you may not know or be able to share this, but what uptake percentages have been like in terms of people in various sectors that are in the 1A1 population volunteering and or declining to take the vaccine? Are you guys keeping any kind of record on that?
Thank you so much for the question. We do not have information on declining of the vaccine at this time. We do not have that information.
Do you have any anecdotal evidence of that?
We have heard excitement from our facilities that are getting vaccine out of relief and hope for the first time in several for most of the year, especially in our high-risk healthcare personnel. So we have been hearing of that excitement both in long-term care facilities and in hospitals, and it is very exciting to hear that.
Great. Thanks for sharing that.
Sure.
Our next question will come from Ben Padula. Your line is now open.
Hi. I'm curious. I mean, it sounds like there've been several reductions in the amount of vaccines you expected to get. For the most recent reduction, it sounds like you were expecting 370. Now we're looking at maybe 320 before the end of the day tomorrow, if I'm understanding correctly. Did you hear from Operation Warp Speed or from CDC on as to why that number had been further reduced? And can you speak to sort of you mentioned you've had to change planning and processes a little bit to account for that. Can you be more specific about what's changed?
I'm sorry. There's a second person who mentioned a 320 number. I've not mentioned that 320 number.
Okay.
Is that being taken from somewhere?
I thought you had. I don't know. Maybe I misheard.
No. It must have been my it must have been me because the second person. So what I said before was that we were expecting 370,000 doses of vaccine in total for December 2020, and that is down from the expected 480,000 that we had been planning for earlier in the month. So there has not been a second reduction since that initial press release from December 18th. So I just want to make sure I clarify that, and I apologize for not being clear in mentioning those numbers. Our adjustment needed to be made in the number of doses that would go to we just had less doses that we could hand out, that we could allocate to the different facilities. And so it was just that we had to scale down across. So we have less doses to give to healthcare personnel, we have to calculate and balance the amount of doses that we're giving to long-term care facilities and to healthcare personnel that are both recommended to be receiving this vaccine during 1A. So it just overall reduced the total amount of doses that we could allocate to our partners in getting the vaccine out to the field.
Just to help clarify, I mean, the current dashboard says, right, 285,000. Virginia's received 285,000 so far. Are we expecting, 90,000?
Yes, we are expecting an additional allotment at the end of this week.
Okay. Because, the month ends, tomorrow, right? So.
Yes. But we are expecting another allotment of vaccine to be allocated on Friday, or we get it on Thursday, and we have and that therefore is our allocation. We received that amount in December, and then we will work to allocate that in the coming days.
Got it. Thank you.
Sure.
And our next question will come from Laura French. Your line is now open.
If you were to look at some of the healthcare social media sites, you would see that not everyone in the industry is eager to get the vaccine. It's very divided. So what would your message to the public be when not everyone in the industry is excited about the vaccine and they're raising safety concerns?
And they're raising safety concerns?
Yes.
Sure. I know that there's a lot of confusion and concern that's been linked to the pace in which these vaccines have gone through the review process that all vaccines go through. I would want to remind people that these vaccines have gone through every step that every vaccine goes through to get approved and recommended for use in the United States. There are several steps involved, and in normal vaccine, traditional vaccine development, there is a need for funding, and that funding is usually raised in many steps and different partners for a manufacturer to be able to bring a vaccine to market. And so a manufacturer has different capacity and ability to move a vaccine to the next step of review because it takes funding to recruit people into a trial and to track those people. And as you get into the larger human trials, we're talking about thousands of people. In the instance of these vaccines, the funding risk has been removed for the manufacturers. All they had to worry about is to work on the vaccine itself, to follow it through the process. They did not have to worry about building the plants and paying in the recruitment involved with the human trials, as well as the manufacturing of the vaccine. All of this was really put into place. The entire world has been working on vaccines. And the pace in which it has been brought to market is actually a huge accomplishment for the human race to have been able to do it as quickly as it did. And that's really because everybody was trying to do it, and a lot of the steps that are usually needed were removed because they were financial related. All of the safety review steps happened. There was no corners cut. There was no things waived because of the need to get the vaccine to market. These vaccines have gone through the same thorough, rigorous review, scientific review by independent scientists to ensure that these vaccines were found to be safe and effective. And the trials that included people of all ages, all races and ethnicities, to ensure that the vaccine was tested in all kinds of populations. And so I do want to make sure that people understand that this process in which the vaccines have come to market were done so without corners being cut. And we have, at VVH, taken steps to ensure that we have our vaccine advisory work group that has a subgroup that's focused on safety and efficacy with our own Virginia-based infectious disease specialist looking at the data that's provided and ensuring that there is another set of eyes, another scientist that are looking at this to ensure that we all agree as public health scientists that these vaccines are safe and effective for the Commonwealth, because the safety of the Commonwealth is our number one priority.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Our next question will come from Jenna Portan. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you for doing this. My question has to do with the actual distribution of the vaccine, and I'm curious if there's anything you have been doing to ensure that those who are teleworking, who are not, you know, physically with patients, are not getting the vaccine ahead of frontline workers.
Sure. So we have a prioritization document that our partners that are vaccinating our healthcare systems, our local health departments and providers are given to indicate who is involved and who's included as a phase 1A priority group, and in what priority order they should be getting vaccinated. And that guidance is provided and requested to be followed. One caveat here is that the least evil in this situation is wasting vaccine. So if we have a situation where they're just, the vaccine has been thawed, it has a certain amount of time before it can be used, otherwise it is not, it has to be thrown out. These vaccines are, there are very specific time measured needs that they have to be treated in. And one of those is once it's thawed, it has to be used within a certain amount of time. So there are situations in which perhaps somebody might get vaccinated that might be in less priority order because otherwise the vaccine would be wasted. And that is not something we want to do, because one more person vaccinated is just another way to protect each other. So we have provided this prioritization to our vaccinators, and we ask them to follow, of course, with the understanding as well that we do not want to waste vaccine.
I see. So is it the case that someone who may not exactly fit that 1A category gets the vaccine inadvertently, or is the case that they get the vaccine because it's sort of about to expire?
I'm thinking of a situation where the person happens to already be there. We would not expect people to be scheduling people, or we would not expect our healthcare, our vaccinators to be scheduling people to get vaccinated in that are in less high priority as others. But if they happen to be in the office and that vaccine is going to get wasted, then we'd rather that person get vaccinated than the vaccine be wasted.
Gotcha. And I'm sorry, just one more quick follow-up on that. Is there any way to verify that someone is a frontline person beyond just their self-reporting or sort of the honor system at this point?
No, there's not a way to confirm that.
Okay.
There's not a system. There's not a no.
Do you have any reason to think that might be happening despite your best efforts?
I don't have any evidence in front of me to be able to comment on that. We are all working to try to get as many people vaccinated as possible, and we are asking our vaccinators to work in coordination with our guidance and follow it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
And our next question will come from Drew Wilder. Your line is now open.
Good morning. I have a couple of questions, and thanks for doing this. I guess the first question, is there a target or a threshold of in this group 1A, once you get X amount of this group vaccinated, then we move on to 1B and then 1C? What's kind of that cutoff to when, you know, you feel enough of 1A has been vaccinated that you'll move on to the next group?
We don't have a specific number in mind right now, and we also consider it that one area of Virginia might hit that before another area of Virginia, and so we are balancing the different districts and what their needs are, and want to ensure that there's enough vaccine to cover the 1As, whether we need to move that around prior to moving on to 1B and 1C. And it's a very fluid situation that we're still learning. We still have not, we still do not have the approved recommendations of how Virginia is approaching 1B and 1C yet. So this information will be forthcoming, and we'll be putting it on our website as we are defining more of that.
Sure. A quick follow-up to that before my next question. I guess, am I understanding that if a particular region of the state, that area's 1A has been met, that that area might move on to 1B itself, or will the Commonwealth move on to 1B as a whole, regardless of what one area might have achieved ahead of the others?
I think it's difficult to comment on that without being in the situation and knowing what the situation is. If we need vaccine to be moved around, or if we don't need vaccine to be moved around, we need people to get moved around to assist in vaccination efforts in other parts of the state. So we can't really comment on what's going to happen yet. We're still in the process of reviewing the situation, and it remains to be very fluid.
I understand. Thank you. And my second question, generally, are you satisfied with Operation Warp Speed? Is Operation Warp Speed meeting your expectations?
I'm in daily contact with Operation Warp Speed. We work closely with our federal partners, both the CDC and Operation Warp Speed. And this is a tough, unprecedented public health effort all around that we're all trying to work together to make happen, and we are very fortunate to have great relationships with them as well as our other state partners as we coordinate.
Is it meeting your expectations?
Yes, we are getting our information we need and working closely together.
Thank you.
And our next question will come from Gerald Palmlama. Your line is now open.
I'm not sure if that might be me, Jill Palermo. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. Your line is open.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing this call. We certainly appreciate it. We're getting a lot of questions about this, so any information we can pass is appreciated. I had a question about the pace of the vaccination. Obviously, we're looking at the dashboard now, and you have said that the dashboard reporting isn't quite up to date, but we look like we've got about 54,295 in the last 2 weeks. Do you all have projections for about how many vaccinations you want to give, like either in a week's time or a month's time, as we move into the new year? That would be my first question. And then my second question, I understand you said that Virginia is still finalizing its 1B and 1C groups. Did I understand you to say that that information would be available next week? And finally, regarding the pace, can you tell us what some of the biggest obstacles are for Virginia sort of stepping up the pace to be able to administer more vaccines on a weekly or a monthly basis?
Thanks, Jill. So the first question was about the pace of the vaccines, and you had mentioned that it's 54,000 in the past since December 14th. And your question is, are we? I'm sorry.
Well, I'm wondering, like, do you have a projection for, you know, the coming weeks and months? Like in January, is there a goal that you'd like to have a certain number administered each week in January or by the end of the month? I don't know what your, you know, time frames are, but I'm wondering what can Virginians expect, or at least what is the goal for you know, numbers-wise of getting these vaccines administered, and then what are some of the biggest obstacles that we're trying to overcome now in order to meet those goals?
Sure. So we are trying to get these vaccines out as quickly as possible through a number of different we have over 100 facilities now that are working through and get these vaccines out, and we're identifying other providers that could serve as locations that could vaccinate people that are not just their staff and not just their patients. That's really been what a great partnership we've had with our health systems is that they are many have opted to not only vaccinate their own system staff but also other healthcare personnel that are not part of their staff. There are some considerations that need to be walked through when doing that because the person is not necessarily your patient, not necessarily your staff. So you have to consider working through those with the different facilities that are interested in serving in that capacity. I mentioned before, you know, new data systems are and especially at the scale of which we're doing it and the amount of data that's coming in, it is slower than we would have liked to, but we are getting better each day in our providers getting access and putting information in as well as us reviewing the data and making sure that there aren't, you know, humans making human errors or systems making system errors. Which is the nature when you're transmitting data and the amount of data that we're doing. So we are being careful and walking that through and making sure that the information is coming over correctly and that it is being updated with the provider if there needs to be an update that happens. So we are working through our providers, also identifying those providers that would want to vaccinate, and as we get more vaccine available to us, because right now we had only so much vaccine to distribute, and there are logistical considerations for specifically the Pfizer vaccine that need to be considered, what makes most sense that the different facilities that receive that vaccine, and then the timeline that you have to consider in the, as I mentioned before, the thawing process and when to administer and how to dispense it out. Moderna vaccine is not as complex, but you still require providers that have at least 100 doses to administer. So we can't just send the vaccine out to anybody. They have to have at least 100 people they can vaccinate because otherwise they would vaccinate the staff and then it would just sit on their shelf. So there's several logistical considerations that we are working through to identify how to get the vaccine out efficiently. And then also our local health departments have really started scaling up their clinics to get out, to identify and bring in those phase 1A healthcare personnel that are getting, that aren't necessarily maybe in an area that a health system can vaccinate them, so the local health departments are coordinating and creating these clinics to vaccinate these phase 1A healthcare personnel. I also want to bring up that our long-term care facilities just started this week. There are skilled nursing facilities with Walgreens and CVS coming on site. They started this week. It'll take approximately 3 to 4 weeks to get that first dose done with the skilled nursing facilities. and they will also start the assisted living facilities in the coming 3 or 4 weeks based off of some scheduling that we're still working out. And they will start bringing them into the schedule as well. So all of these, I always like to remind people that it's been two weeks, but we had Christmas in there. We've got weekends in there, and the amount of vaccine that is getting distributed out is happening on a weekly basis in mass release. And so then they schedule the clinics based off of that vaccine that they've received. So we are continuing to work forward, and the systems are, the vaccinations are increasing. And I'm so sorry, Jill, I don't remember your other question.
Oh, I was just asking, do you have a projection of how many you hope to do in all of January, for example? I'm just kind of wondering what the pace will be as we move into the new year, or at least what the goal for the pace is, you know, in terms of getting people vaccinated. Like, do you have numbers? Do you have estimates that you're, you know, thinking are reasonable?
I think that we don't have quite the data yet to be able to show the throughput for these providers, and we'll have more information in the coming weeks.
Okay. And can you give me your name? I might have missed it at the beginning. I'm sorry.
Christy Gray.
Thank you so much.
Our next question will come from Ian Monroe. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning. So I just wanted to revisit the, you know, the priority list. I'm over here in Western Virginia in Harrisonburg. You know, just over the state line is West Virginia. And with the priorities, we've got, you know, we had our first vaccinations at our Centara Hospital about 2 weeks ago, and today was our first day for at a nursing facility, and there are several more dates at other nursing facilities I spoke with yesterday that have finally been, you know, sort of set in stone with CVS. Now, something that I'm curious about, I know that you mentioned, you know, we're looking at a bit of a lag here, but sort of the first part about this is, I mean, I just want to go over this priority list again. With, according to CDC data, you know, 80% of COVID deaths being in people over the age of 65. I mean, I'm looking at the vaccination data from today, and overwhelmingly, it looks like it's medical care workers who have been getting the first rounds of doses. And even, again, yesterday, I'm speaking with assisted care facilities, which very different from nursing homes, I understand, but still, they still don't have dates. I mean, I think this is still something that I'd really love, just other than just following the guidelines, can you go into, and it's, I understand if you can't, but can you go into why these guidelines were sort of set in place if, again, 80% of the deaths are in a population that are receiving a fraction of the vaccine still at this point, you know, 2 weeks in, and again, even a large number of these populations still don't have dates?
Sure. So the long-term care facilities had the option to participate in the CDC Pharmacy Partnership Program, which has two parts, the skilled nursing facilities and then the assisted living facilities plus others. And VDH activated our the Part A for skilled nursing facilities on December 14th, and the way that this program works is that we had to allocate 50% of our doses initially and then 25%, allocate enough doses to cover 50% of the part that we were activating. So we had to take out the amount of doses of our allocation and provide them to CDC to commit Walgreens and CVS to this program, and it takes 2 weeks to essentially get everything set up and they start their scheduling. So the first date that was set for the scheduling was this past day, in which the skilled nursing facilities started scheduling their, started having Walgreens and CVS come on site. And we've been told that it would take approximately 3 to 4 weeks, depending on how many, if they needed to come back for an extra visit to vaccinate these residents and staff on the facilities. So the amount of doses that needed to get allocated were allocated. They were removed from ours. We could not use them for our healthcare personnel. The pharmacy partnership program, however, with the schedule that the way it is, it was meant to, that the scheduling fell that the actual vaccination started this past Monday. And they received the Pfizer vaccine, which means by the time that CVS or Walgreens finishes it, they go back and they will be ready for their second dose.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
So, and going back to that, so it kind of, I hesitate to say sort of went out of your, if I'm understanding correct, I hesitate to say it kind of went out of your control, but once it sort of went to CVS, it's sort of in that scheduling system, and then it just, you know, it's kind of out of your hands. Am I understanding that correct?
The program required that 2 week time frame for them to start, that's when they were scheduling all of these. All of the visits, but yes, that is it's in the federal partnership program. We gave them the vaccine, and they take care of it.
Okay, and my second question too. Again, being over here, 20 minutes from the state line with West Virginia, it's my understanding that as of now, West Virginia has nearly 2% of their population vaccinated, which I understand a much smaller population. But, you know, Virginia's got about 0.55%. I mean, West Virginia seems to have something that, again, with the proximity, it's one of the states with the best record going so far as getting doses out and administered. I know that there's that review you mentioned at the very beginning of this call about how things have been going. Has there been any talk about taking notes from how the rollout has been going in West Virginia and using those in Virginia, or is it sort of a much more internal review of the administration process?
The review I mentioned at the beginning of the call was related to the priority groups for 1B and 1C, I believe. But I am in contact. We're in the same Health and Human Services region as West Virginia, and we have monthly calls. And we do share what's going on in each of our states, what's working, what's not working. So look forward to hearing from West Virginia.
Thank you.
And our next question will come from Sabrina Monroe. Your line is now open.
Hi. Yes, thank you so much. So you mentioned the limited supply, but earlier said there's no system to verify if someone is a frontline worker. So I was wondering, how is the VDH tracking who qualifies for a vaccination under this first round within the health department itself? So a remote worker isn't receiving the vaccine before someone who's in constant direct contact with COVID.
You're asking how local health departments are doing this?
Kind of, how are they tracking, like, within who's getting the vaccination within health departments? So a remote worker isn't receiving a vaccine before someone who is in constant contact with COVID.
When reaching out right now, healthcare local health departments are focusing their efforts on the healthcare personnel and targeting those that are. Our healthcare personnel and asking what they're asking general questions, but there is no background check. There's no any kind of intense review of ensuring that somebody is actually having patient-facing healthcare personnel experience. We are just working all to try to get as many healthcare personnel vaccinated as quickly as possible, And besides the general questions of asking about somebody's history, does not go beyond that.
And this is kind of separate from that, but, you know, race and ethnicity have been at the forefront of this pandemic since we're seeing Black and Latino communities disproportionately impacted. But right now, with vaccinations by race and ethnicity, there are more than 40,000 vaccinations that are not reported by race and ethnicity. As we delve into essential workers, which is predominantly Black and Latino in Virginia, what are the efforts to be having more robust data when it comes to race and ethnicity to kind of track the impact in regards to vaccinations for those populations?
Sure. Well, race and ethnicity are definitely fields that we are asking our vaccinators reporting data to just to ask for and enter if available. We do not want to withhold a vaccine from somebody or not include a vaccine in the registry because we don't have race and ethnicity information. So we'll continue to request that information and troubleshoot if there's any questions or concerns of how to do that. And likewise, just regarding equitable access to vaccines, we are working with the Office of Health Equity and the Office and the Chief Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer with the Office of the Governor. We developed and modified our health equity guidebook to provide guidance related to providing culturally appropriate community vaccination services in a manner that is inclusive of elevated risk communities. We're ensuring that our decisions are made using health equity lens and working to try to include data that we can find with vulnerable populations to be reached. We're conducting community forums and listening sessions with different communities to not only address concerns, but receive information back on what exists and how we can update our guidance or our outreach efforts, as well as in our vaccine advisory work group. We have established sub-work groups that work with trusted community organizations to facilitate our communication channels and rapidly disseminating information to those critical populations, and we're hoping that the information in this improves over time.
Hey, this is Maria Repes, the VDH Communications Director. I just wanted to jump in and follow up on a previous question. I'll only take a few seconds. A lot of our doses are sitting at Walgreens and CVS as we wait for their vaccine administration programs to start. That's a driving reason why we haven't used everything we've been given yet, but we will. And West Virginia has distributed fewer vaccines than we do, I think, at 34,000. But I just wanted to clarify that point.
And our next question will come from John Jones. Your line is now open.
Thank you very much. My question relates to the prioritization of 1A, and it talks about DOC at 4,500 healthcare workers. So the question is, does that include the healthcare workers in local jails?
We can definitely follow up to confirm that, but my understanding is it does, and we can confirm that.
Thank you.
And our next question will come from Victoria Sanchez. Your line is now open.
Hello. Thank you. I was actually cut off during my follow-up, so thank you for taking my questions again. I just wanted to go back to what was just said from the public information officer. I just want to make sure I'm clear. Did you say there are vaccine doses that are just sitting at Walgreens and CVS's right now?
Sorry, yeah, this is Maria. They're part of the administration program, vaccine administration program. They're with CVS and Walgreens right now. The program is going to roll out.
Do you know when that will happen?
Let me clarify. They're not. They've been taken from Virginia's allocation for Walgreens and CVS to use. They're not necessarily sitting on a shelf somewhere, but they are not to Virginia to allocate elsewhere. They've just been taken away from our allocation and intended to be used by the long-term care facility partnership, which is CVS and Walgreens going on site to these facilities and vaccinating the residents and the staff. And so that's why a lot of our vaccine that has been distributed is not necessarily in a hospital or a provider office to actually get vaccinated. It's that it's going to these long-term care facilities over the next few weeks to vaccinate the staff and the residents.
Okay, thank you. And then one more thing, and I understand you guys have been working around the clock, and I really appreciate it. This is just coming from me personally. But it seems that this is going much slower than what even the federal government has wanted. I know the Trump administration said they wanted as many as 20 million people vaccinated by the end of this year, which is tomorrow. And the U.S. only has, I think, a little more than 2 million people vaccinated. It just seems like it's going at a snail's pace when throughout this year it was really warp speed, like Operation Warp Speed, to get this vaccine done. Do you feel that this is going slower than what you want?
I think we are pleased with our progress and with our Virginia providers, because as you mentioned, there's a lot of work going in, not only in the logistical coordination side, but all of our boots on the ground. The people who are actually vaccinating people. We've had stories of people watching Christmas movies while they were waiting and getting after their observation period of being vaccinated. They were really having a creating a wonderful situation out of what was going on of getting vaccinated. So working around the clock, especially around the holidays. And I think we are pleased with our progress, but we have a long way to go. And I think we will continue to get more efficient as we've been planning so long to have all of these moving pieces in place. And now that it's working, they're all getting into place. We're getting more efficient about it. We're getting used to all of these systems interacting with each other. And so at first, it is expected to be slower, but I think it will get much quicker as we move along.
Thank you.
This is Maria Repis again. I just wanted to add one more detail. We are asking for patients with the long-term care facility partners, as CVS and Walgreens are working to schedule those vaccination events. They're looking at 1,442 facilities with three visits each. So that's quite a significant undertaking. But we are rolling it out with those partners.
Our next question will come from Kate Masters. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hi. Thanks so much for taking my question. I wanted to go back to the question on racial disparities in vaccine allocation. When you look at the demographics on the dashboard, it's showing that a lot of race and ethnicity data isn't reported. Actually, the majority of vaccines administered so far don't have that data. But when it is, it seems like, the predominant number have gone to white patients. And I was wondering if you could go into, why we're seeing that disparity, and then also why so many don't have any race and ethnic data attached, even though that's really been a priority, as we know how COVID-19 has disproportionately affected minority populations.
Sure. So as I mentioned before, the race and ethnicity are not required fields when reporting doses administered to this. And when we think about who is getting vaccines right now, it's mostly healthcare personnel, which are usually linked to maybe occupational health systems as opposed to an electronic medical record system. Electronic medical record systems are much more robust and usually to capture this type of information with occupational health systems don't, at least in our experience, are not. And so I think that is a main reason why we're not really getting that information, is that the system that's sending the data is not built to even hold that information to send us. There's no field to be selected. And so I think over time, especially as we're getting into the general population and more medical record systems are used, we would expect that to increase. We can't, that we want to accept the vaccine, whether the race and ethnicity are there or not. And we have provided guidance on trying to send that information, and we will continue to work with our partners to try to supply that information. I think there's still not necessarily enough information to really draw any conclusions about the race and ethnicity information that is there, but we are going to continue to look at that information and update with any information we find over time.
Okay, thank you. And sort of along the same lines, you mentioned earlier that you weren't aware of any hiccups when it comes to distributing vaccine in more rural or lower population areas. But just looking at the information that is available on the dashboard, you know, you see that Fairfax, for example, has over 5,000 doses administered. But then you look at Cumberland and it says 13 doses administered. So, I mean, if that's the case and there has been equitable distribution, why are we still seeing rural areas with so many fewer doses?
I think that's something that it's difficult to draw a conclusion to just looking at that data. It could just be that the information has not been entered yet, not necessarily that they didn't get the vaccine yet. We would have to look at that more, and happy to follow up with you, Kate, on that. Fairfax does have a lot more people. They have a lot more systems in place that receive vaccine because they have more people and needed more doses to be able to give the same access to those persons as others are getting. But happy to follow up with you, Kate.
Okay, that would be great. Thanks, Christy.
And our next question is from Kate Manzanera. Your line is now open.
Hello. I just had a question following up on the vaccine prioritization document. Is there any way that we could get access to that just so that we can see what the system is for the vaccine getting passed down through Tier 1?
Yes,
I believe it's available on our website.
Thank you.
Also, I just had one more question about ICE facilities in Virginia. During the summer, these facilities had a major outbreak of coronavirus in specific Farmville ICA. Is there any plan to get those facilities vaccinated ASAP?
That's something that I'd have to follow up with you on. There are some federal entities that are getting vaccine directly and not through state allocation, so I would want to follow up and see if that's one of them.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
And our next question will come from Brandy. Apologies, that is Brendan Poton. Your line is now open.
Hello. Kind of a related question to other ones that you've gotten, but just in terms of the federal government, is there anything else that you think could be done to help speed up the process, or, you know, is there anything else that you're looking for? Just going back, you know, they had said 20 million people would be vaccinated by the end of the year, and right now we're at about 2 million. Is there anything else that could be done to help speed up this process?
I can't comment on what the federal government can do or the vaccine manufacturers. They are manufacturing the vaccine. There are efforts in getting vaccine from them. It's dependent on that manufacturing, and that there aren't any issues or that could very well happen. So that is independent of what Virginia is doing. We are continuing to work on focusing on our 1A population and increasing our coordination with at the district level with all of our vaccinators in order to complete vaccination of our phase 1A population as quickly as possible and look forward to implementing phase 1B and 1C.
Got it. Okay. And then just one other quick question. In terms of getting the second dose that this vaccine requires, how are those efforts going? And are you anticipating, you know, people who got the vaccine 2 weeks ago now will be able to get the second dose, you know, in next week or the week after, you know, 3 or 4 weeks after they originally got it?
Yeah, so the second dose vaccines are actually, that allocation is different than the first allocation. They're being, overall, the vaccine that is available is essentially half are getting held back to be able to send that second dose 3 to 4 weeks later, depending on the vaccine. So we did get our second allocation of Pfizer this week that we have already assigned to be provided out to the original 18 facilities that received vaccine the week of December 14th, and they are on schedule to receive that vaccine this week so that they will have it in place starting January 4th when the first people will be due for their second dose. And that would continue moving forward for the upcoming weeks as we'll get our second dose of the first shipment of Moderna vaccine, and it would continue moving forward, and we will be coordinating that distribution to the providers.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question will come from Ariana Deal. Your line is now open.
Hi, yes, a couple questions. First, when you were informed by Operation Warp Speed that you would receive about 100,000 less doses, what was the reason that they gave you, if they gave you one?
Our understanding is that the calculation of when how much vaccine would be available was determined off of the wrong set of vaccines. Like they use the number of total being manufactured, not necessarily the number of that had completely gone through the data quality process and are ready to be shipped. They were using the wrong number to calculate that off of. I do want to also emphasize that the original numbers that they did give us were always planning numbers. They were never allocation to us that we actually could place orders for. They were always planning numbers. We just were not expecting the actual allocated number to be so much lower than the planning number.
I see. Thank you for answering that. And then my other question was, when we look at, you know, the less amount that you're seeing both distributed and administered, for my own understanding, is it sort of a combination of the lag in your system and the logistical issues and that you're receiving less doses? Is it a combination of all three, or is there one that's sort of one challenge that's superseding all?
I'm sorry, this is related to, can you repeat that question?
Sure. From my own understanding, is it correct to say that the amount that you're administering is lower than you anticipated because of the lag in your system and because of logistical challenges? Those are the main reasons? Or is there another main challenge that you're facing?
I think in relation to the ratio of doses administered to doses distributed, it is related to just the logistical timing, considering this is also, you know, time where lots of people take vacation or they take time off. And
so the amount of vaccines that you would expect to maybe be able to vaccinate, maybe people are not there. So there's some logistical considerations. There are some people considerations. And then there are some lag considerations where the vaccines just have not made it in there. There might be some technical issues that we're working with the vaccinators to work through to enter the data into the registry.
I see. Thank you so much for answering that.
And our next question will come from Carolyn Vaughn. And apologies, that's Carol Vaughn. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, one of the larger groups in our area on the Eastern Shore that was hard hit and will need to be vaccinated also in the next, one of the next phases, are the poultry workers. What kind of planning is going on at this stage, not just for our area, but for the that particular industry in Virginia?
Sure. So they would fall into our next groupings of 1B and 1C. And we have those recommendations under review right now within our Virginia Unified Command and the Virginia Disaster Medical Advisory Committee. And so once we have that information available, we will publish that on our website.
Mm-hmm. Is the health department working with those companies? I know they've offered, the companies, at least one of them has offered, you know, to, they have their own in-house providers, et cetera.
Each local health department, health district routinely identifies essential personnel in their district that would want to be considered in these types of responses. So I would want to defer to the district, but I would feel confident that they are making those connections and having those conversations.
Thanks.
And our next question will come from Lindsay Bennett. Your line is now open.
Thank you very much. Yes, I'm wondering if you have heard any reports of negative reactions to the vaccine, and if so, what might they have been, and potentially what might be a cause of that?
The term that we typically use for reaction to a vaccine is an adverse reaction. And there are common reactions that are considered non-serious that people can expect, or it is common to have those reactions to vaccines. For example, some is pain at injection site, tiredness, headache, body aches, maybe or a fever, and these could last for in hours, could be short or a few days. It's short term, and it's really actually a, it shows that your body is developing the immunity and it is normal, it is expected. We have not heard of any serious adverse events happening in Virginia with either of these vaccines.
Okay, thank you. And a follow-up question, I know you've touched on it somewhat, but how do you think that Virginia stands compared to the timeline of getting the vaccines, getting them administered, compared to other states? And so I guess if you could answer, you know, how do you feel that Virginia compares, and what do you think might be some of the challenges or obstacles or differences that are impacting Virginia?
I really can't comment on how other states are doing in our comparison to them. I think that we are pleased with our progress of the amount of vaccines, 54,000, that we've been able to enter into our registry so far. We do think that is actually higher than, that there are more than that actually happening, and we look forward to getting that data into the registry. Our local health departments are ramping up,
and are working very hard with standing clinics and outreach to our healthcare personnel. We've been very pleased with our coordination with our hospitals and health systems in Virginia being great partners in opening the doors to vaccinating not only their own healthcare personnel, but other healthcare personnel as well. And we are, we do recognize, though, that we have, we're excited about this progress, but we have a lot of room to go, and we will get more efficient as we continue moving along.
Thank you very much.
And our next question will come from Jean Morano. Your line is now open.
Thank you. Christy, I think you've sort of answered some of this in drips and drabs, but I'm going to ask it anyway. As far as when this rolls out to the more general population, Ms. Gray, what are going to be the big obstacles? Is it going to be the lack of supplies? I know that I've read that some of the raw materials are lacking. Is it going to be distribution points, lack of that, lack of freezers, or is it going to be even just getting people out of work to come get their vaccine? You know, what's going to be the biggest obstacles to overcome when you roll it out to the general public?
Thanks for the question. And, you know, the general public, and just a reminder for everybody on the phone, so we've got phase 1A that we're currently in, and we expect a 1B and a 1C, and then phase 2 is the general public. And that's really anybody else who's left over. We see that the general public, we will have enough vaccine at that point, and that's how we would typically know we're in phase 2, is that we have enough vaccine that there's plenty, and we're going to be able to supply it out as if you're used to seeing your flu vaccine. So you'd be able to see it on the corner at the local pharmacy. You could get it from your primary care provider. You could see it wherever you are typically getting your flu vaccine. And that's how we would, that's how we foresee rolling this out to the general public. COVID has a tendency to give us some curveballs along the way, so I don't want to ever say that we absolutely know what's going to happen. And we are continuing to update our planning as new information comes out. We still have vaccines that are in the pipeline of approval process that we will need to adjust and update our planning for that will increase the supply of the vaccine. So there's a lot of things to consider, and I wouldn't want to necessarily say exactly what's going to happen for phase two, but we expect there to be more vaccines, more access, and we will be continuing to address any bumps in the road as we come along.
So just to follow up, Christy, does that mean that phase two won't actually be declared or rolled out until the vaccine becomes sort of ubiquitous, like on every corner?
No, I can't really comment on what the flag or what the symbol will be. We are continuing to update as this evolves. So I will say just stay tuned to our website and any press releases we do, and we will be sure to keep you in the loop.
Thank you, Christy. Appreciate it.
And our next question will come from Leanne Wright. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks. My question is sort of similar to Jean's. I think you had said early on in this that you're expecting about 100,000 doses each week. Is that through January? And if so, and then I think I understood you to say that you hold back about half of that so that you can have the vaccine ready for the second dose of the people who have already gotten the first dose. So would that mean that at this rate that you're only going to be able to get to about 50,000 people a week?
I'm sorry, that is my my fault. This is a very complex logistical or undertaking, so it can get very confusing. The amount of doses that are withheld are actually withheld by OWS and CDC. Like, we never see them. So the amount of doses that I mentioned, the 100,000 doses that we get, are 100,000 people. It's not that any of that is being held back.
Okay, so the 285,000 doses that you are showing on your dashboard. Those are actual 285,000 doses that Virginia has received and has distributed. And are those, and so I'm getting really confused with all these holdbacks. So did half of that get held back for the partnerships with CVS and Walgreens for long-term care, meaning only half of that was available for the healthcare component, healthcare worker component?
I think it's going to be really confusing to try to go through it over the phone. We're happy to follow up so you have it on paper.
Yeah, I would appreciate that, because the questions that we're getting are on the lines of, you know, how many people are actually, you know, doses are coming in, how are they going, how's it being distributed as far as holding back or starting to schedule the second clinics coming through. And so when does that mean that somebody can sort of start thinking about when do we get to the next phase?
I understand. It is very confusing, and we will follow up with the numbers to make it more clear.
Okay, thank you. One other question as to whether how the vaccine is being distributed to the healthcare workers in the state hospitals.
The state hospitals can
the psychiatric hospitals.
I'm sorry, you went in and out there. Say that again.
The state psychiatric hospitals.
Yes, we're working with DVHDS to get vaccine allocated directly to them for their vaccination.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question will come from Kim Haynes. Your line is now open.
Was that Jim Haynes?
Yes, sir. Your line is open.
Okay, thank you. I want to talk about long-term care facilities. And on your website, you have a page that talks about congregate settings. And they give some examples as homeless shelters, group homes, prisons, detention centers, schools, and workplaces. There another group of congregate settings, which have probably 20,000 Virginia citizens that are living, and these are in senior living facilities. They're known as CCRCs, or life plan communities. And they have residents living in gated communities, which provide three levels of care, or living units, field nursing, independent living, and assisted living. And the residents routinely move between all three areas on a very short-term basis, either on a daily basis, for several days or what have you. And as I said, there are about 20,000 Virginia seniors living in these communities. Where do these seniors in these congregate communities fit in the 1A priority list? And I have one more question.
I believe they would be linked into the second grouping. We've got nursing facilities and then assisted living facilities plus other. And I think they would fall under the other section and had the ability to opt into the same CDC pharmacy partnership program with Walgreens and CVS. And there are, if there is a campus in which there is different facility types on the campus, for example, a skilled nursing facility as well as assisted living facility, my understanding is that those are treated separately from one another, and the CVS and Walgreens would go on site and vaccinate according to the schedule that has been set up for the respective facilities, regardless of the fact that they're on the same campus. So if there were two types of facilities on the campus, they would get six visits, not so three for each facility.
Thank you. And my other question is, how much lead time will a facility receive for the delivery of the vaccine? when I order something from Amazon or from anybody else online, I'll say your package has been shipped, and then it says expected delivery date, whatever, by 9:30. And I think this is important because there is some preparation that needs to be done before the vaccine actually arrives on site and the people that are going to administer, whether it be Walgreens or CBS, et cetera, they need to prepare for this. So is there a schedule like that's provided?
What is beneficial about this pharmacy program is that the pharmacies are completely responsible for the vaccine storage and handling, administration, and reporting of doses administered. So the long-term care facility does not need to receive or handle any of the vaccine. They
understand that, but they need to provide the space, and they need to organize the recipients of the vaccine so that they know when to be where to get vaccinated.
Yes, CVS and Walgreens are coordinating that communication with the long-term care facilities and identifying the date in which they will be on site, as well as any consent forms that need to be completed prior to their arrival.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. I just want to jump in and say this is our warning before the end of the call. We have time for one final question.
Thank you. Our final question will come from Henlin Graf. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon. Thank you for doing this. My question just really is with this going slower than expected at this point in time. When we talk about the general public getting the vaccine in late spring, early summer, are you guys thinking that that will now be a little bit more delayed as a result, or is the hope that things will just get more efficient in the next month or so and we'll still be able to hit certain markers like that?
Thanks for the question. I think it is difficult to forecast one way or the other that we cannot be on that path because there are likely to be more vaccines that are introduced, which increases the supply of vaccines that are available to be used. And we don't necessarily know any other hiccups that might come, but we are confident that we will get more efficient in the data entry and the different systems that are involved. So I think there's just a number of factors that are contributing, and it is difficult to say one way or the other whether we can confidently stay on that track, but I don't see a reason why we couldn't.
Okay. Thank you so much to everyone today for joining our call, and thank you so much, Christy, for being such a wealth of knowledge for everyone who had questions today. There will be an audio recording posted on the VDH website, as well as a written transcript. You'll be able to access these documents in the next few days at vdh.virginia.gov/coronavirus/media-room. Thanks so much, everyone.
This concludes today's conference. All participants may disconnect at this time. Thank you for your attendance in today's conference.